The Beer EDU Podcast, episode 129. End of the year with Ben and Kyle. Welcome to the Beer EDU Podcast, the podcast for educators that love to learn and share ideas with fellow educators over beers, with your hosts, Kyle Anderson and Ben Dixon.
Kyle, what is up?
Hey, dude, how's it going?
It's great. This is our wrap-up summertime episode.
Yeah, episode. Now, this is normally but I'll say it this time. It's episode 29.
I didn't know which one it was.
Yeah, well, it's been busy because it's the end of the school year. And I will say right now, I'm not sure how well I'm thinking straight because I've been off now for almost 2 weeks. And then summer, even though it's not officially summer yet, it's still technically spring. But summer has reached the Las Vegas Valley. It is currently 107 degrees. Ooh. And the forecast for the next 2 days after when we are recording, it's supposed to be 112. So
So as we're recording this, it is June 8th. Now, this will release later on, but it is just the beginning of June. So it is 90 degrees here. So, yes, we're in a bit of a – the West is in a bit of a warm spell.
Yes. I mean, I did look ahead to the forecast, and after the weekend, the couple of days, 112, it's supposed to get back down to, like, the 90s for a few days. So, I mean – so that's, but here's the thing with that. We had right like around the last week of school or so, we had a stretch where it got up to about 100. I mean, it wasn't terribly hot, but 100 degrees in late May is still kind of like, whoa, come on now.
Yeah.
Well, then all of a sudden,
it's a dry heat. It's a dry heat.
It is dry. I'd rather have that 100 dry versus like Florida or Southern Texas.
Yeah.
But I digress. But we went from like that couple days towards the end of our school year where it was in the hundreds down to like where it was only like in the mid 80s, and that's a difference. And like I jokingly said, I'm like, I almost need a sweatshirt. This is kind of ridiculous. So because I mean, because then at night it was getting down like high 50s, low 60s. You go for a few days where it's super hot like that, and then it drops. But it's like when I grew up in Michigan, we'd get in the summertime, it'd be like the 90s with all the humidity, it'd be super ridiculous. Well, then one day out of nowhere, it'd be 60. Like you'd be going like shorts, tank tops, and all of a sudden, like you're dragging out jeans and sweatshirts because it dropped like 35 degrees. Yep.
Yeah, that humidity. That's a whole. Yes. Yeah, it's right now 90 in Brooklyn where my daughter is, and 90% humidity. So that's gross.
I grew up in that humidity. I don't know how I did it. So I can't stand it now. No. So I'm going to be heading back to Michigan here in a few weeks. So well, we can talk about that a little bit more. But
yes.
First thing we do, we probably should do some introductions.
We should. People are now like a good like 4 minutes into the show, and they're like, who are these guys?
Right. So so I guess I'll go first. I'm Kyle Anderson. I'm a special education teacher in Las Vegas. New job coming in the fall. We'll talk a little bit about that, too. You can follow me on Twitter, at Anderson EdTech. That's the same thing on Instagram and Untapped. And then I'm also on Peloton at Anderson EdTech. I've got my blog, AndersonEdTech.net. I am also an author of To the Edge, Successes and Failures Through Risk-Taking. That's available on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and also through my publisher, EduMatch Publishing. And you, sir, you are?
I am Ben Dixon. You can find me at BDixonNV on Instagram, Twitter, and Untapped. And I'm a principal in Reno. So you're in the South, I'm in the North, both in Nevada. And those are the places that you can find me. I was just looking. You can find me on Strava, too, you know, if you want to, like, see what I do when I run. But I don't ever know what my login is on Strava. So, hey, that's not really going to work.
Yeah. Well, and right now I'm not sure how much you're doing anyway because you are still recovering from your recent bike accident you mentioned on our last episode. So.
Yes. Well, I'm my doctor did clear me to ride indoors and ride on the road. And now as when this is released, I'll be able to, I'm back on my mountain bike out riding. And as of today, I did 8 miles running outside. So I didn't fall. Yeah.
So we can get into this. I mean, you're like damaged goods. Yeah. You're damaged goods a little bit. How damaged was the bike?
Nothing. My bike's absolutely fine.
Oh, perfect.
The bike is absolutely fine. No, the bike, yes, the handlebar that punched me in the ribs, that broke my ribs, that's the only thing I could figure out is how I broke my ribs, is my helmet, this is the advertisement for having a helmet, has a nice ripple in it. It didn't crack. I never passed out. I don't think I had a concussion, but anytime you wreck, that means you get a new helmet. So,
yes.
Well, and as we see,
yep. No, the
So that was my big adventure. Spent some time in the hospital, and you know what's funny about that is I was talking to the guy who did my surgery, does tons of these, and the joke, and if you ride bikes enough, the joke is it's not if you break your collarbone, it's when. So I figure I've had 30 years of racing and riding mountain bikes and road bikes, and I was kind of due. But I was telling my doctor, man, the best thing about working in a school, especially an elementary school, is if you have a birthday or something happens to you, because I have so many cards and kids made me posters. And the funniest one is I have a poster in there, and I should post a picture of it. We have a bike club. So it's a bunch of kids that we take them on bike rides on Fridays. They made me a poster that is, it's kind of brutal. Some suggested I play tennis. Some suggested I get training wheels. Some suggested that I'm basically too old to ride bikes. I'm not a cat. I don't have 9 lives. So I'm leaving that up because
that amusing. Instead of the Friars Club, roast a Bendix, and that's insert elementary school name, roast a Bendix, and that's great.
It's 4th and 5th graders that just ripped me a new, like, for getting hurt. So
that's the age where they really start, like, roasting is kind of the thing at that age. So my 10-year-old daughter just finished 4th grade, and that's kind of her thing. Like, she'll try to make fun of me, and then she'll say roasted afterward. I go, that's not really a roast, you know? And I go, and if I come back at you right now, you're not going to like it. So we're just going to leave it at that. So,
I respect that. I don't know what that says about me as their principal or our relationship, but I thought that was funny and, you know, it was all good natured. So that was kind of how I ended my year. You, my friend, how was the end of your year? You've been off for 2 weeks. How was it?
Yeah. So, I have been off for a couple of weeks. I've been enjoying a few beers here and there. So, in fact, I'm enjoying one right now, as are you. So,
yes, we probably also have to talk about that.
Yeah. So, right now, I've got a new Belgian Voodoo Ranger IPA, which is 7% ABV, 50 IBU.
Right.
Solid IPA, nothing crazy. And, you know, we were kind of talking about this before we hit the record button that I forgot how good these things were.
But yeah.
I hadn't had one in quite a while. And, we were also talking that they've got a whole Voodoo Ranger series and how some of them are good, some of them are not as good. We don't say bad beer on this show because there's no such thing as bad beer, just some that are better than others. But this is the flagship, like the original of that Voodoo series. And this one's really good. So I remember my first like kind of introduction to New Belgium for a lot of people was probably the same thing as Fat Tire.
Yeah, Fat Tire. I think they're what they're known for sure.
Yeah, once they come out with this Voodoo Ranger, I remember it being really good. And I honestly don't know where it came from. I opened up my fridge and it was there. So I don't know if somebody brought it over or if I did buy it at one point. I don't remember. So that's okay. I found a good beer in my fridge. I'm not going to ask questions at this point.
Nice. Well, there you go. Well, I also am enjoying a beer. So I have Great Basin, local Northern Nevada brewery, probably best known for Icky, their IPA, their flagship. But they, this is one we were joking before we hit record. This one's called Leave No Trace. It's an Alpine lager. It's a Hell's style, 5% ABV, 20 IBUs. And it was one I was like, I don't remember ever having this. And you looked on Untappd, and apparently I did have it at on tap at a restaurant here in Reno. About a year ago, but this one, this was a gift from, one of my parents. So they hooked me up. So I was like, hey, I haven't had this one. So it's solid. I mean, this one's pretty close to a lawnmower beer, I think.
Yeah. Hellas style lager. I would say it's definitely a lawnmower style. So, mine, not a lawnmower style, but still pretty good. you know, even though it's 107 out, I am sitting inside and under a fan in the air conditioning to stay out of that. So the kids asked me earlier today if we could go to the pool. And I said,
yes,
there's a window of temperature where you can go to the pool. And we are above that window. I am not going out in 107.
Yeah. Because then the concrete around the pool is 130.
Yeah. Well, and then, then you're talking too about just the direct sunlight. And then, we already own stock in Coppertone and every other sunscreen company there is. I joke, we don't really own stock, but we should. It's too much when it's that hot. So, if it was a pool in my backyard, it'd be a different story. But when you got to walk down the street or drive over to go to the pool and do everything, I told the kids that was a bit much. And then, they were really mad too, because they've been on their video games and iPad so much lately that I took those away for the day too. So they were real happy with me today. So, sometimes you got to put your foot down. So,
speaking of that, because I remember it was a couple of years ago, my wife and I had gone to, because where else would you want to go in July? We went to Phoenix. We actually went for a conference. And I remember sitting in the pool and it was 115. And I'm thinking, I'm not cooling off. This is not doing anything.
No.
And then I remember going, we went and watched the Diamondbacks play indoors. I remember leaving the stadium at about 11 o'clock and it had cooled off to a balmy 98. And I'm like, this is gross. This is weird.
No, Phoenix is a different animal. Whatever it is in Las Vegas, you can usually add 5 to 10 degrees for Phoenix. And it definitely gets hot. At least they keep that air-conditioned stadium there in Phoenix at a nice, 72. So
that was – yes, it was – that was worth it. But, it was just man. So, I don't know. So, besides going to the pool and doing that, what are you doing for the summer, man?
Well, by the time this drops, I will be in the middle of packing. We are doing – a little cross-country road trip. So this was something that we planned out several months ago, long before Putin decided to be the complete and utter a-hole that he is and, basically cause oil prices to rise, contrary to what some people believe. It is not a president who controls those things. So read an economics book. Our budget for gas is a little bit more than we had intended. But even then, though, I actually looked around the 6 months ago when we were planning this out, I did a comparison, average gas price then versus average gas price now and whatever. And for the entire trip, I think it's going to end up being about maybe $150 more or something, which isn't too bad.
Yeah. Well, and last I saw, we have the second highest gas prices in the United States. So I figure once you get to Utah and then head east, it's gonna go down.
Yeah, so I've been looking at that, and we're actually taking the south route. We're gonna take I-40 across Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, and everything,
and then head up. Okay.
Yep. So once we're gonna leave Las Vegas, and our longest days of driving are only gonna be about 8 hours. We're not going crazy.
So everyone listening, Kyle has two young children. He has a soon to be fifth grader, right?
Correct.
And a second grader. Correct? Okay.
Correct. If I'm bottled up at home with them, they're driving me nuts at home. I can only imagine if I was in a car for 12 hours with them. I've been looking. Yeah. Once you get in Arizona, it goes down, but then New Mexico, Texas, and Oklahoma, and we're going to be also going through Arkansas, Tennessee, and then, my cousin, we're going to stay with my cousin for a couple of days. She lives 10 minutes outside of Memphis on the Mississippi side of the border. Sweet. Yeah. So, once you get into those parts of the country, gas is significantly cheaper. We're talking about $1.50 a gallon less. $2 less a gallon in those areas. We're going to do I'm a planner when it comes to these things because I don't like the risk of getting somewhere after we're driving and there A, not being a hotel, or B, the hotels are $300-$400 or something like that. I don't like that. So we always plan out and book things ahead of time. So we'll do Albuquerque in one day. We'll get to like Oklahoma City another day, and then we'll get to Memphis. We'll stay at my cousin's for a couple days. We're going to Nashville after that. Cool. But between Memphis and Nashville, like an hour and a half drive out of the way, is the National Space Museum in Huntsville, Alabama.
Yep.
So we're going to go there. I always wanted to go to space camp when I was a kid. Never got a chance to do it. So I'm going to be going there. At this point, I'm not doing space camp, obviously, but I still get to see the Saturn V, which is pretty freaking cool. So
that is cool.
Yeah. And right then, so we'll do that on the way from Memphis to Nashville. And then we'll do a couple days in Nashville. And then to break up the trip to Michigan, we're going to stop off in Cincinnati. My buddy, I went to his wedding a little while back. His wife just gave birth to their first, so I'll get to see the newborn while I'm there. And then got some Tigers tickets in Detroit 1st of July, and then be in Michigan for about 2 weeks, and then we'll drive back. And I think the drive back right now we're planning, we wanted to try to go to at least one ball game along the way home. I think we're going to go to one in Denver.
Oh, right on. Yeah, so
never been to Coors Field in Denver, so we're going to check that one out.
I have talked to people. Denver is pretty awesome. People I've talked to, my kids
never been there?
I've never been there. My wife's been there, and my kids have been there, and all of them say it's super. I mean, okay, I've been to Denver, the airport.
Yeah,
I
mean, but that doesn't count. That's like 20 miles away from Denver.
Actually. Yeah, exactly. So that is
Denver. I've been there a few times, and it's a cool city. And if you are into steaks and burgers, that it is a great town for that. So there are definitely some great steaks and great burgers around that city.
It is on my list because that is Coors. That is the stadium that I want to go to because that is a thing that I mean. I have a list of stadiums that I want to go to and that I've gone to. And every time we travel, anywhere we go, if there's a game, we will be going to San Diego in July for a conference. And I have to check. I think that the Padres are in town, but I have to double check. So I will be going hopefully to Pod because I've got to check that one. I've snuck into the stadium when it wasn't open, but I've never been there for a baseball game.
Yeah. I have been, that's kind of my thing too, is that I eventually want to get to all teams' parks around the country.
Sure.
And I've kind of thought out this trip eventually where I'll start in Boston and do Boston, both New York, Philadelphia, Washington, Baltimore, maybe Pittsburgh, because it's not terribly far away. Get six of them out of the way.
You can do Philly. You can, those are all kind of, that's on my bucket list, man.
Yeah, so if I end up hitting Denver on my way home, I will have hit three different ones this year because I did Cincinnati. I've been to Dodger Stadium now, and then it'll be Coors Field. So two close ones. I still haven't been to Angel Stadium or Petco in San Diego, which it's kind of a travesty. I've lived that close for 17 years, and I've never been to them. But I'll get them out of the way. But, no, I've been to now, I believe I'm up to 10. So I'm about a third of the way through in the stadiums.
And maybe in less than a year, you'll have gone to the Oakland. It won't be Oakland. You'll go to the A's stadium because it will probably be in your neighborhood.
Yeah, there's the talk about the A's moving to Las Vegas. So we'll see.
I know. So right on, man.
So, I got a busy 3.5 weeks coming up here before I do have to be back for training for my new position. But before we get into that, so what's on your agenda for summer here?
So I will be working. My wife works a 12-month contract with her position at a district level. So there's not a lot going on. We have a couple of conferences that we're going to. I think I've talked about this before. My son moved to San Francisco. So that is a bonus right there. Cause since he's moved there, he's lived there for a month. I've already been there twice. And I'm going next week, for Father's Day, Giants. We're not going on Father's Day, but a little bit after when the Giants get back in town. So we'll be going to some Giants games. Like I said, I'm going to San Diego. That's pretty much it. I mean, my summer is getting ready for the next school year. I had some hired some new teachers. I have a new dean coming on board a new dean that actually was one of my former staff members that left for a while to be a dean, and then I was able to bring him back. So yeah, that's kind of it. Recovering my shoulder, riding my bike, trying not to fall off again. So yeah, that's kind of what I'm. That's going to be my summer. You know, hopefully, you know, just being around here. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's a little different when you and your wife, you're on different schedules. You know, that makes it a little bit tougher. Well, and then, you know, especially with you hiring new people in, just that's
new too. Well, and it's funny because that's the time that, like, I like to say I get all my work done. Because really, I'm just going to be honest. Like, during the school year, I spend most of my time in classrooms and outside. So there's a lot of paperwork that I put off, or things I put off. So I will take care of that stuff in the summer. Yeah. And planning for the new school year. That's like a whole other thing that we start to do and looking at those things. So yeah, that's kind of, and then I think you and I might have some work to do. I saw an email of a project that we're working on, so I think we have some work to do.
We'll have to set aside a little bit of time for that as well.
Yes. So, yeah. Which we're teasing that, because that we will talk in more in depth about that on a future episode.
Yeah. So it's I'm not even sure how much we can talk. So that's why we're being really cryptic about it right now. So, but yeah, there's definitely a project that's been in the works now for a couple of years that Ben and I have been part of, and it's starting to come to fruition at this point, kind of like in the latter stages of it. So, so we'll see
we'll tease that. We'll definitely, that is definitely for future episodes and those kind of things. So that's kind of my summer just winding down. I mean, I feel like we could review the year, but I mean, everybody knows, I mean, it was a COVID year. It was insane. It was masks, then no masks and exclusions, and then not exclude. It was a thing.
I'm not sure how much I want to talk about it anyway. No.
We made it through, dude. That's all I'm gonna say. Check, done that, moving on.
Yeah, that last couple of weeks of my school year, I haven't done a countdown in years. Like, you know, the school year is coming up to an end. Oh, how many days we got? I don't know, whatever. I did a countdown this year. I was ready to be done, and it's not that like I was like, you know, had it written down somewhere.
No,
like,
no, I know what you mean.
Post-it notes where I was peeling them off, or like written on the board. And like, you know, because you get some teachers, they'll write it on the board and then erase it every day and replace the number or whatever, which it's really sad when teachers put up 180 days to go, like first day of school, and they do it.
Right.
That's rough.
Yeah, and so like I agree with you, because there used to be this thing that, and I don't remember if it was my school or we had talked about it, where they did a count. They had a bulletin board where they counted down, and I don't. So what I started doing was I say we count up, and so what we do is we count 180 days of awesome. So every day I say this is day 25 of 180 days of awesome. This is, and then we get to the last day. It's day 180 of 180 days of awesome. Blah blah blah. But I agree with you. I don't like the countdown, but I fully, if I really am honest, I'll admit it too. Man, those last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Whew,
yeah.
I was dragging.
The one kind of countdown I will give some slack to, though, is if you're a teacher of seniors and your countdown is like 180 days to graduation, and then like you're ticking off each day. A little bit different.
I agree with that. I agree. I think that that's such a huge deal. And that, you know, funny that you brought that up, because that's one thing that I was super excited that we did as a school. We are a feeder for our high school, is just down the street from us. And we brought in all the kids graduating that went to elementary school there. And we had them walk we had all the kids outside, and we have a track, and we had them walk with our kindergartners. So the kindergartners who, I hate to say, I hate the term graduating, because I'm like, you're not graduating until you're a senior. You're celebrating your journey to first grade. But we had them walk with the seniors, which was super cool. Like, it was super cool for these kids to come back and see, like, you know, some of the teachers that are still there. The best part was they all wanted to see? My custodian.
That's
my
awesome.
My head custodian, Lupe, man, he is the best. That guy's been there forever, and those kids love him. Like, so they were so excited to see him. So yeah, that was cool. And I'm excited for those kids because this year they got to come to school and graduate.
Yeah, we had a similar thing in my school. It's been kind of tradition in my school. It's the Aloha Assembly at the end of every year.
Okay.
And celebrates the seniors that are graduating and also celebrates the incoming eighth graders. So the eighth graders from the school down the street from us, they walk over from for this assembly, and then they have this whole celebration, Hawaiian-themed celebration, whatever. Well, then the culminating moment of the assembly is – where each class, they have their own section they sit in the gymnasium during assemblies. You know, 10th graders are here, 11th graders here, you know, where the seniors leave their spot and then everybody shifts to the new spot.
Over.
And the eighth graders sit down with the ninth, where the ninth graders are. So
that is cool.
I unfortunately did not get to see it because I ended up having an IEP during that time that got planned out that I had to take care of. It was not something I could reschedule.
Right.
But so I did not get to see it, but I was told about it because, again, it's been happening for years. And last year we were not able to have it because of COVID. And so this was the first time in like 3 years that they actually were able to have it. So it was kind of cool to hear about it.
And I think that is cool. I think it's good for those kids. And I think it's super good for kids to see those kids leaving, like them graduating, because the culmination of their work, you know, be it, you know, whether you're going to college or whether your career or whatever you're doing, you've put your time in and you've done what you needed to do. So that is super cool for them.
No. And then we did have graduation was actually the day after the last day for students. We were one of the first graduating schools because where I'm at, they have, there's two arenas in town. There's several arenas, but there's two of them they always use for graduation. There's one at the Orleans Casino and Resort. And then UNLV is Thomas and Mack Center. So our graduation was at the Orleans Arena. And it was the day after the last day for school. And so I went and worked that you know, got to see graduation. And we had 630 graduates. So, we had a...
So, for context, my school, pre-K, fifth grade, I have 500 kids.
Yeah.
You had 600 seniors.
Yes. So my school is, I believe we were around 3450 this year is what we were.
Damn.
Which kind of leads me into why I have a new position for next
year. So we teased that. We talked a little on a previous episode and you are now transitioning. So what's up with that?
Yeah. So, so here in my district, we have, rather than having administrators be the school representative for IEP meetings, there is a position specifically for that. The full title for that position is Special Education Instructional Facilitator. So they're going to be the representative for all IEP meetings. They're going to be the one that reviews IEPs ahead of time to make sure, A, that they're complete, they got everything taken care of, if there's any issues ahead of time.
Right.
They're going to be the one to mediate any disputes during a meeting.
Okay.
If something comes up afterward, you know, so the go-to person.
You're the LEA. Basically, what the term is LEA. You're the LEA for art. In our district, it's the administrator.
Correct.
And I read all the IEPs. And yes.
Correct. So that
will be your position.
So, yes. Yeah, so on top of those duties, an LEA is supposed to also go into classrooms and help a teacher implement an IEP. Like if they're having a hard time with a student, they're like, well, have you tried this? You know, maybe going and observing a kid too, because the special education teacher might not be able to because of their own class load or whatever it may be. Well, our current LEA, our current CEF, as we call them, Special Educational Instructional Facilitator, CEF is a lot easier to say. Pam is amazing. She's been doing the job for, I believe, 15 years at this point. It's gotten to the point where she can't do her job effectively because we have so many students with IEPs.
Right. With 600 seniors, I can just imagine how many IEPs.
We are projected to have over 400 students with IEPs next year. So my principal decided that a second CEF was going to be needed in order
to. How is there not three?
Right.
There's not three.
Even then, though, so they opened up a position for a second CEF, and I saw the position. I talked to my assistant principal about it. I talked to Pam, our current CEF, about it a little bit, and, you know, just asked a few questions and everything. And I decided to go for it. So this was, I believe, man, I don't even remember now if this was February, March, whenever
right,
it was.
Right. Yeah.
It was March. I remember because I got the phone call and the offer the day before I left to go to Washington, D.C. for that conference. And that was like beginning of March.
Right.
So this was several months ago now.
Okay.
But again, yeah, I asked a lot of questions. I interviewed. I felt cool. I interviewed well. And like I said, a few hours later, I got a phone call from my assistant principal asking if I wanted the positions.
Right.
So, yeah, so that'll be my new position for next year.
So in terms – so along with – you know, being the LEA in an IEP where you're basically, and I would guess similar to what we do, you're representing the district. You're making sure everything falls in the right order, things like that.
Correct. So it's in line with state and federal guidelines,
right,
all of that.
Right. We always joke, you're not giving anyone a pony. You're in the IEP to make sure no one gets a pony.
Right. It's a good way to put it.
But I have a question. So will you also in that role, since it sounds like you're also going to be supporting teachers, will they also ask you to do anything like doing like, and I don't know what they call them in your district. We call them an FBA or a PTR. When you have a student with behavior, so a functional behavior analysis, or do you guys have behavior specialists that come out to do that stuff?
So typically with that in my district, our school psychologists will take care of a lot of that stuff. Like when it comes time for three-year evaluations, the school psychologists will do the evaluations on that. And then the special education case managers will take care of a lot of that stuff as well. So like one of the big supports, so like if teachers have questions, I mean, that's they'll be able to come to us. And like, I mean, I was in Pam's ear a lot about stuff, just asking her, like, hey, you know what? I see this kid, he's made this improvement here.
Right.
I believe he could maybe be exited from special education services. Okay. What do you think? So, so questions like that could come up, I could be part of that. And, and I'll be honest, I'm not sure how comfortable I would be with that question right off the bat. You know, being, I'm going to be new at this position. You know, so I'm definitely going to be relying on Pam a lot in this whole this first year or so, just, you know, relying on her to learn as much as I can. You know, I'm not going into this thinking I'm an expert by any means.
But
another part of it too is, you know, we have all of our incoming freshmen that are going to have to be assigned a case manager.
For sure.
My caseload now has to be reassigned. And then
so will they hire another SPED teacher to take your spot, basically?
So they already have someone hired to take my spot, but then we're losing two or three more. So I don't know if they've got those hired yet, but we'll have to rearrange caseloads on that as well. So one of the jobs that I will be helping Pam with before school starts is we'll be going through
the
roster and then figuring out who's going to get which students for their caseload. And then on top of that, because I've worked with my caseload for the past 2 years, there are some of my students that I work very hard with, and I know I need somebody very strong to help take over.
Right.
So I already told Pam, I go, I got in mind a couple of teachers here already that are going to have to take some of my kids because I don't know if I can trust somebody else with them, which sounds terrible, but
But you know the kids and you know your colleagues.
Right, for sure.
Well, and I'm curious. So then are you also – and this – I'm super interested. So in my district, we have what's called a special education facilitators, and we have special education administrators. So they work in tandem. So in my zone – we call it a zone. So it's a high school, the two middle schools that feed to it, and then all the elementary schools that feed to it. So we have an administrator and a facilitator, and they kind of support our teachers. So they come out, do similar, they don't LEA, but like if we have a kid that maybe we're looking at, okay, do we need to do a change of placement or those things? They help us review, they help us collect the data, those kind of things. One of the things that we also do is when you guys get new kids from out of district or anything, would you then review the IEPs, that kind of thing?
So whenever we get somebody new, even if it's from out of district, especially if it's out of state, we treat it as an initial right off the bat. We just do it. Yeah, you have to do an initial right off the bat just to see if they qualify. Because if a kid comes from, say, Vermont, qualified for education service, special ed services there, they could come to Nevada and maybe not even qualify. So now, granted, I have never seen that be the case where a kid with an IEP from somewhere else come in and not qualify, but it's just one of those formalities that you have to do.
I think usually the issue sometimes is like kids come and they might be in a self-contained program, and then they come and the parents, sometimes we have parents, and I don't know if this is the case where you are, because you deal with high school kids, but in elementary where the parents aren't really sure, they're like, well, they went to a special class. And so we really kind of read that IEP and we look at minutes, and then we say, okay, well, this is showing that your kid seems to be based on the IEP working in a self-contained class. And then, then we work through those things. Okay.
Well, and the other thing that could happen too, is that if the previous evaluation was 2.5 years ago, they come in, you do the evaluation like, oh, this kid doesn't qualify anymore because they've improved that much.
Right.
So now, usually say if a student qualifies in math, reading and writing, they may have improved enough in one of those areas, or maybe even two, but like usually not all three. So it depends on the situation.
Yeah. It's very similar here. And it's funny, I just was at work today and we have a new student joining us. So we will do an interim IEP right when that student gets here at the beginning of the year. And then we have to look and see, because we've had kids where we do the interim and then we realize, and then it shows, well, they're due for a 3-year reval. Yeah. And so you end up doing it right away.
Yeah. So, well, and what I'm looking forward to is I already work real well with Pam as it is. Like, you know, I have a real good relationship with her, and, you know, and I'm looking forward to working with her more closely as it is, but I really feel that we're going to be able to balance real well, because we have our own styles that work for some people but may not work for others. So, and I can approach a kid as a white male in a different fashion than she can as a black female. So there's going to be times where like, I'm like, Pam, I'm just not going to be able to reach this student like you might be able to, just because of dynamics here. So, so whereas in the past, Pam by herself, you know, she may struggle with the student, but then doesn't really have any other way to go about it. So.
Well, I'm just thinking like, so between the two of you, you're splitting 400, that's 200 kids each. That is correct. That's a big lift.
And we haven't really discussed how we're going to do it. It's like, because right now we have a shared calendar that the entire special education staff, that's where when we start scheduling out our IEPs, we put it on there and just make sure that it's there on that calendar. So then Pam would know, hey, okay, meeting at 9 a.m., another one at 11:30.
Right.
If all of a sudden, like if something happens where there's a double book in the past, our assistant principal might be able to fill in as LEA. Now it's going to be one of those deals where, you know, it might be where we sit down on a Friday afternoon before going home for the weekend and be like, okay, here's the meetings for next week. Which ones do you want to take, you know, and just kind of divvy them up that way. So I'm not sure what that dynamic's going to look like yet, but it's going to be a learning process, but you know, it's a challenge that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, props to you, man, because that's special education is a calling, and definitely you have that calling. So that's cool. That'll be good.
Yeah, it's funny. I just
you're slipping back into the dark side of administration.
A little bit, yeah. So it's still a teaching position. It's a 9-month position, but I do believe I will make a little bit more money because I will not have a prep. So they technically have to, when you don't have a prep, they got to pay you for the time that you're putting in. Sure. So I do believe I will make a little bit of extra money just because I'm not going to have prep time or whatever.
Right.
But it is administrative, you know, in a way where I'm not going to be evaluating teachers or anything, but at the same time though, there's a lot of like the paperwork alone is very administrative.
Right. And I think that thinking, and I don't know, we've never had this discussion about 5-year plans or whatever, but if you think about, I know that I've seen people where these positions lead to, because I'm sure in your district, just like mine, you have district level positions that are within special education. I mean, we all know if you're in education, you know that special education is a whole different beast in and to itself. I mean, when we talk about, you know, laws and IDEA and those kind of things, it's a very specialized area for people. So I could, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, for sure. So, So yeah, that's the end of my road trip this summer. As soon as I get back to work, I got a couple of days, and then I have 2 days of training that I have to attend. Okay. And then
right.
As of right now, I would just report back whenever regular teachers do, but
right.
I think we're Pam and I will probably come back about a week early just to work yeah. on that new caseload.
I know you, dude. You're not gonna roll in the first day teacher stuff.
Oh no.
You're a preparer, dude. You're a prep. Oh, yeah. You're gonna be prepped.
You're right. No, even like, you know, I think, what is it this year? Our first day with students this coming year is August 8th. So
okay,
from right. 2 months from today that we're recording this, actually.
Right.
And well, first day back with students. So teachers first day, returning teacher is August 3rd, the Wednesday
correct.
Before.
Okay.
I can't imagine not being back like just at that
end
point.
Of July.
I would say the absolute latest August 1st is when I'd probably
yeah.
go back.
Right.
So just have that couple days there. Yeah, because when I was in the classroom and had my own classroom as a gen ed teacher, I was that guy that showed up like on that Monday just to set right. my classroom up. I didn't want to deal with that on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
No.
So.
No. Yeah. And that's always been that is something I know. And I have a lot of my teachers are those teachers that will come in and get all their stuff ready before we yeah. start.
Well, and I'm one of those people too, that like right now I'm still in that I'm enjoying sleeping in a little bit, staying
yeah.
up later, you know, basically working out 2-3 hours a day kind of deal, which
right.
I've been working out quite a bit these last 2 weeks.
Cool.
Right. But yeah, come late July.
It's, yep.
yeah, I need this routine again. So I do like a routine. So yeah, like I said, right now I'm enjoying no routine, but it's going to come back here pretty soon. So
I would like to say I don't need a routine. My wife will beg to differ. There will be a point where she's like, okay, you've been home for a week. It's time for you to go back. Cause like, technically I am an 11-month employee. I technically have July off. I don't think I've met an administrator in our district that takes July off. So we end up working anyways, and then we take them as comp days or however we use them. Because like I don't technically, if I take Christmas break off, I have to use comp days or vacation days, or yeah. I end up working.
Or if you got to go to a wedding in the middle of March or something
that's
like
true.
That.
That's yeah, true. That's true.
Build up some days for that. So
right. That is very true. So yeah. Right on, man.
Yeah. So. Cool. Yeah, so I mean, like I said, this was kind of our end of the year wrap up, but
yeah.
we don't really want to talk about the year
yeah.
because I think enough has been said about that. And
yeah.
right now, like the fact that the proverbial slate's kind of being wiped clean.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that clean slate in August because this yeah. last 2 years has been, well, we had an episode called
it
the Pandemic sucked. Shit Show.
It yeah, and it was a shit show. That's all it was.
It was a shit show too. So, and yeah. I'm hoping that it'll be less of a shit show. I'm not going to say it won't be a shit show. It'll be less of one.
I would love, I don't know, maybe we should do a poll of people that listen to this, because I was talking to my teachers and we all, I don't know if it was because we all thought that it would be a quote, air quote, normal year because we were back in school and all the kids were back. I mean, where you as were distance learning, all your kids were back. It was not a normal year. It was a shit show. And I think that's why when I talked to my staff and I talked to other teachers in my district and my colleagues, it was like, that's why everyone's tired. I think yeah. because it was just like, it was so unexpected. I don't know. I don't know if we all thought it was going to be one thing and it turned out to be something else. I'm not really yeah. sure what it was, but it was a lot.
The biggest thing for me was that students were 2 years behind in their maturity. Not like academically and everything, because like I hate that whole learning loss thing, whatever. Were there things
yeah.
that students didn't learn, whatever? Yes, there was, whatever. Students were 2 years behind their maturity. So basically
that's
the freshmen
point.
That I had this year were technically like seventh graders. And I've only worked for a few months in the middle school environment and I didn't like it because
right.
you know, for anybody that's a middle school teacher, man, hats off to
yeah.
you, because in my opinion, those kids between the ages of 12 and 14, they do not have a brain. They are not human at that point. And I struggle with that because most of my career was with 11th and 12th graders who are
right.
much more mature.
Right.
So all of a sudden, like, I'm teaching ninth graders that, and I'm, but I'm dealing with middle school problems.
Right. Oh, that's interesting.
That's my perspective on it.
No, that's a good point, because I was thinking about like some of the biggest struggles behavior wise, a maturity level. I would see that. I would agree with that. Kids were, now that you say that, like our second graders, we think about first grade, even though we were in person, but a lot of kids did DL. Those kids, we joke all the time that the end of kindergarten, the last 9 weeks of kindergarten is the money time. That's when it clicks for kids. Mm-hmm. It's like they missed it, because here we stopped going to school March 20th. And then kids did DL, but it was it was what it was. And then some kids did DL, some kids' parents kept them home, some kids homeschooled. And then we brought them back for second grade. And my second grade teachers, they had their hands full. So you're right. I hadn't really thought about the emotional need of students and adults was a lot this year.
Yeah.
I would agree with you.
I'm thinking the big thing is that after a full year of kind of being back to normal, air quotes, that'll make this coming year a lot better right off the bat.
But those freshmen now will be sophomores, and we always joke about sophomores. I compare the second graders to sophomores. They just know enough to think they know everything.
Yeah.
Second graders and sophomores, dude. It's the same.
So we'll see. So, but, right on. You know, we would love for you listeners to kind of share your thoughts on, like, what are you doing for the summer? Like, what are you looking forward to? Or if you do want to maybe talk about the year, keep this conversation going. Share your thoughts with us. You can email us at info@beeredupodcast.com. Yep. You can always tweet us at @beeredupod and then #beeredupod. You can hit us up on our Facebook page, @beeredupodcast. That's all one word. On Instagram, that's the fun one, @beeredupod. You can always watch our live recordings on our YouTube channel at bit.ly/beeredu YouTube. So subscribe there. Leave us a review wherever you're listening to the show. That way more can find it and we can connect with more great educators out there. And Ben, if people would like to be a guest on the show, what do they have to do?
Yeah. So go to beeredupodcast.com. You click on that contact subscription info link, and then you just complete that guest form. We'll put you in the queue. It's a process. I know we've had some people in there and scheduling and those things, but definitely if you get your name in there, we'll get back to you and get you scheduled up, because we'd love to hear from you. And then I think we wouldn't be here without the support of some people that have been promoting us. School Rubric is one of those people. The mission of School Rubric is to help schools, educators, and parents and students tell their stories so that stakeholders can make the best choices about enrollment, staffing. So go to schoolrubric.org and you can find all kinds of great content. And then also, we are super stoked to be part of the Codebreaker Podcast Network. So if you go to codebreakeredu.com, you can find so many great podcasts besides this one. You know, Teachers Talking Teaching. We have Student-Centered World, STEM Every Day, Teachers on Fire, My EdTech Life. So definitely check out the Codebreaker Network. And I guess that's kind of a wrap on this year. On this part of the year, shit show part two.
There you go. So we're not gonna name the episode that, but and normally we do a learn about segment. But we figured today was more of just kind of a laid back, kind of fun kind of deal. And
if we have joke too, that go learn about some beer on your own.
Yeah.
That's your summer homework.
Yeah. If there's something that you want to know about beer, tell you what, go look it up, get a little info on it, and then pass it our way. And then we'll do the research for you for later on, because we are going to take a bit of a break from this episode. Now we're going to take a few weeks off. Again,
you're
traveling,
dude.
Yeah. I'm going to be traveling. You're going to be busy with some stuff, but we do have a few people in our queue that, before everything kind of starts getting going on, we do look forward to scheduling out a few recordings to have them in the can for the fall. Yep. That way, once the fall hits, where you're going to have every 2 weeks, you're going to have us in your podcast feed once again. So, we joke all the time that the day that that we don't want to steal ideas from people is the day we stop doing this show.
No, we're just, no, that's so, totally, this podcast was built on I don't want to say thievery, but we, there's a lot of great people out there doing great stuff, and we want to promote that, and you know.
So. Yeah. So absolutely. So yeah. So we're hoping that the time you hear this one, that you're in the throes of a relaxing summer. Yep. getting a little self-care in and get some traveling. If you are still working, that it's not that stressful for you.
Agreed.
Either way. So, but yeah, we'll like I said, we'll definitely be back in August and September, and getting, we got, like I said, we got some great guests lined up. We just got to get them recorded is all. So we're, so if you are one of those guests that signed up, we got you. It's in our queue. We just got to coordinate some schedules and get you on.
And if you follow us on the YouTube channel and Facebook, you can see those live recordings, because those ones will happen before we post the actual episode. So
yeah, absolutely. A little preview. So if we do get a few out before summer kicks into full gear, you can actually see them a few months before they're going to be posted. So
there it is.
If you like. So, but so I think that's about it for 129.
It. Yeah, my friend. And we wrapped up this year. I hope you have a great summer, man. And we'll talk. But
oh yeah, no, we're definitely going to be podcast. Talking.
Yeah.
Sure, so, but I was just thinking about this too. This is we're coming up on the 4-year anniversary of the birth of the show here. So yeah, we're pretty close. Wow. Summer 2018 when Beer EDU formed. So, but and listeners, of course, we would not be here without you. So yeah. We appreciate you. And until next time, may the malts and the hops.
Right on.